Well, my wife Andrea and I, we are parents of three kids. We've made it through the preschool stage. We have, and we're in three schools right now. We're in elementary, middle, and now high school as well. And what I really felt led to do today is just give a biblical talk on parenting. And so not everybody in here is a parent. I totally understand that. But I think if we can all at least be on the same page of parenting, whether that's in our future, whether that's just not in the cards, or whether we're right in the thick of it now, I think that's good for all of us. We have had in our house countless conversations on how to be the best parents we can be, how not to screw our kids up. The conversations, I can't tell you how often. We're in a stage right now where the most important conversations, and these are daily conversations where we talk about the calendar, right? Because kids are into, we got our own stuff going on, but the kids have things going on, and we really value family time, and we fight for it. In fact, that's what today's message is about. Making time to be together. And so our Saturday morning is the most important. We do pancake breakfast every Saturday. It is a tradition like no other. And that's coming up soon, isn't it? The Masters. And so there's this like calendar meeting that we make all the kids sit through. We talk through the entire weekend together. To me, it's incredible because I like that clean organization. We're all on the same page. But I think parents, all parents, have two things in common. The first is a dream. We all want a healthy, long-lasting family. Amen? You want a long-lasting, healthy family where everybody's happy, loves each other, wants to spend time with each other 40 years from now, not just in the moment now. We all want that. You know the other thing we have in common? We have a fear. And the fear is we all fear we are going to blow it. Am I right? Yeah. We're all scared we're going to mess up our kids somehow or we're going to do something wrong that's going to have massive implications. We are. And so we have this dream of what we really want and then this fear. And the reason we kind of have the fear is because secretly we know we all have some level of dysfunction in our home. We do, but we don't talk about that really, do we? And I want to say something to that. You do, okay? You do have some level of dysfunction in your home. We all have it. We're all a little kind of rough at times and misplaced priorities. It totally happens, but it doesn't have to screw your kids up. And it doesn't have to screw your family up. I want to encourage you in that. I remember, I actually just heard this again recently, but it was in my small town growing up. I would hear this often. Our parents would say this right in front of us about parenting. They would say, the days are really long, but the years go quickly. I'm like, I'm right here, you know. but that's so true. 18 years goes really, really fast. We're going to hit 16 years here in a month, like in 1 month, and it's gone super, super quick for us. We believe that families that prioritize specific attributes in the home are sowing long-term rewards. And so what we're doing is this week, we're starting a three-part series on parenting called Family Focus. And this is what it is. We want to focus on three specific attributes that if a family dedicates itself to, we believe we can have that dream of a long-lasting, healthy family. And the first one that we're going to talk about today is togetherness, like prioritizing being together as a family. Okay, we're going to get into that. Just so you know, the next week is hope. You ever been around? It could be an individual, it could be a family where it's like you walk in their house and it's just negative. Like it's like, well, I just won the lottery, but I'll probably blow it all. Or I mean, it's just like something good happens and you just expect something bad to happen, right? Or you've ever been around someone where it's just constant negativity or bitterness, anger prevails. that type of home will not produce a healthy, long-lasting family. We want to be hope-based. In fact, in the way, hope is the very definition of how we see God. It's faith. Like when you look up the definition of faith, it's hoping for the things we do not see, right? And so, like, having a hope and a belief in who God is as we see him as good and great, like we're actually hope-based. You can't have a healthy view of God and then be negative in your life. That's just incongruent. If you have a really strong view of God, you're going to have a really strong view on life and a positive outlook. And so that'll be next week. The week after that is perseverance, a family that prioritizes persevering. And it's as a family. And so, like, I think we've all kind of struggled with this, but like when your child has a problem, and the quickest thing to do is, I can fix that, right? But we actually want our children to struggle, to actually have to persevere through some challenges, walk with them in it. Well, anyway, we'll get into that in 2 weeks. But it's really important for a family to persevere. It actually solidifies faith. It solidifies so much else. And when you go through a battle together, you're truly united together in that. So that's what we're going to talk about in this series. But we all fear we're going to blow it. I am a confident person, and I've never really struggled with confidence, and there's a shadow side to that. I totally know it. However, when my son was born, our first, I had no confidence. I didn't have a sliver. I had no confidence. I remember we were in St. Louis, and living at the time, Nate was born, and we were in the hospital, and they tried to move you out quickly. Dad did not, he was not ready to go. And so we stayed an extra night for me. And we took full advantage of the NICU, like the nursery, whatever, you know, like I always thought it was silly when mothers and mother-in-laws would like come stay at the family's house after having a kid. It's like, come on, you're going to have to get it figured out on your own. No, we had both of our moms come offset each other. I was out of my mind frightened. And the reality is, I've had so many of those frightened realities ever since then. When our kids got old enough to go to school, preschool felt really safe. We sent them to our church's preschool. And then when our kids go to school, and it's like, uh-oh, I got all kinds of fears. Like, what are you teaching? You know, I don't care about the academics. Are we indoctrinating? What's going on? You start worrying about your kids' friends, and it's like, well, I want them to be loyal. And, you know, all kinds of fears wrapped into that, right? And just going on and on. College is, I don't know anything about that yet, but I'm sure I'll be scared. It's frightening, and we constantly feel like we might do something to blow it. See, we all, every parent here, you come from an upbringing. And some of y'all's upbringing was really healthy, and you wish you could almost relive it again. And for some of you, your upbringing was really difficult, and you would never wish that on anyone. But the reality is, we take the emotions from our own upbringing, we meld them with someone else who also has emotions from his or her upbringing, and we create a home, and we try to do this together, right? And so you can understand quickly why there's some level of dysfunction. It's just going to happen. Well, the key scripture in this series is a proverb. And it says this: train up your child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up your child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, parents, we are called by God to prioritize the rearing of our children. And here's the thing: if we don't do it, someone else will. Every child is going to be brought up by somebody, okay? God has said, I want the parents to be the heads of the household. I want you to take this and be the lead in this. Christians, people who walk with Jesus, Christian parenting is not just about keeping your child out of trouble. It's actually about creating and forming bold followers of Jesus children who love Jesus so much and are so encouraged to walk with him. I mean, that's the role of your church. That's the role of the school, is we actually want to help parents parent their children in a healthy way. We don't want to take it over. We want to support what you're doing at home. That's why St. Paul Christian School is here. It's why St. Paul Westport exists as a church. We want families to feel so equipped in this. And one of the greatest keys to a healthy, long-lasting family is togetherness. So let's talk about togetherness. Valuing togetherness means investing in togetherness. You ever been around a family and you're like, they're so much fun. We can think of numerous families like this. Like, they're just always together. They actually enjoy each other. They don't age out of it. You know, years down the road, they're still connected and really close to each other. Andrea and I are, this is Grace. We're so thankful. We grew up in houses like that. Like, we still love each, you know, our families, and they act like they love us, and we're all happy in that. And it's so incredible. It's like, it's what we want. You laugh a lot, right? Jesus, when Jesus was in his ministry, he basically emphasized his own role in togetherness. So in John 10, Gospel of John, it's a really great chapter. But I just want to pull out a couple of these verses today. Jesus was speaking and he said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." He's talking about the sheep. And of course, there's an analogy here, right? He's not a real sheep. I mean, it's people. And he's like, "I know my people know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." And he says, "And I lay down my life for the sheep. I will lay down my life for my people. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice." What Jesus says is, like, he is the shepherd with his sheep. He cares. He's the good shepherd. There were shepherds that were pretty good. There were shepherds that were awful. But Jesus is the great shepherd. He's the one who actually pulls them in. He cares about togetherness. And there are other sheep that need to be part of this. And he goes and he gathers them. And what's significant about the herd? It's who the shepherd is. He's not just the glue. I mean, he's the centerpiece of that whole herd of sheep. And so for our family, it's like we can try to pull pieces together and everything, but Christ desires to be the center of our household. He is, like, set it up and created us to actually need him to be the center of our household. That's what's so incredible about this. See, when a family values something, if we value togetherness, we'll make it a priority. It's not just like we'll say, "Yeah, I need to work on that. You know, I need to try harder." If you're one of those who I've heard about these people who always, like, sits on the couch late at night and says, "We should really go to bed," you know, and then like 30 minutes later you're still on the couch and you say, "We should really go to bed now. It's late." It's like, just get up and go to bed. If you want to prioritize going to bed early, you'll make it a priority. If you're just kind of like, "Well, I want to talk about it," you'll just talk about it. It's same with, like, if, you know, we should eat healthier. If you want to eat healthier as a family, you just prioritize it. You either will or you won't, right? There's really no in between. Wanting something doesn't do it, but actually prioritizing. And I say that because likewise, the only way to spend time together as a family is to prioritize it. It does not just happen, especially as the kids grow up. It doesn't happen naturally. So what do? We emphasize relationship. I tell my girls, we have a 11 and 13-year-old girls, and I have told them for years, "You are best friends for life." And sometimes it's when they're in a really good mood, but usually it's when there's a problem there, and I remind them, "You are best friends forever and ever, And they have heard that if they were in here, they went back with kids, but they would be nodding going, yes, he says that all the time. I can't force them to be best friends 20 years from now, but I'm going to do everything I can to make them prioritize their friendship because they should be close forever and ever. Why? It's about their relationship with each other. People matter. All people matter, but our family matters, and we will prioritize that. In fact, we'll even structure it at times, not just from a dad saying, you're best friends. You know, I know you're in a slump, but you're still best friends. But there are times we'll structure it. Like if a rare chance anymore, there's a quiet 2 seconds at a family meal. By the way, we eat meals together. That's going to be a part we're going to cover here. If there happens to be a dinner where there's like 2 seconds of quiet, Laurel, our youngest, will say, let's play high-low, what do you know? Which is like everybody goes around a circle and says the greatest thing that happened to him in the day. And then low is the worst thing that happened in the day. And then what do you know is what'd you learn today? And it's really fun. Anymore, though, we never make it through 3 rounds, like through the highs, through the low, like because conversation grows and it's absolutely good. Like we prioritize relationship. We do a lot of things wrong. We have our dysfunctions, so don't let me try to imply, okay? I'm not trying to imply that we have it all figured out. We have our challenges too, but we right or wrong, so our house, we have a 2-story house. It's almost as simple as all the bedrooms are upstairs and all the family stuff is downstairs, more or less, right? And we make homework happen on the main floor. We have some introverts, so we allow introverting after school. You can go take some time to decompress, but then when it's homework time, come down, sit at the dining room table. We just to prioritize being around one another. We also don't allow computers to go upstairs. You don't need a laptop upstairs where nobody's around and can see what's going on. So there's other issues with that, but we're saying like family time, being around, being together, even if you're not talking because you're studying one thing and you might be studying something else, this is important. We just value that relational time with each other. We haven't stopped this, we probably could, but we still have assigned seats that rotate every meal in our house. There's a whole story on how that started, but the idea was we wanted to create like special moments where you got to sit between mom and dad, and boy, and we called them the star. Today it's probably the curse for them, but we still call it the star. Who's the dinner star? Who's the it's awesome. But we invest like relationships in attending each other's events. My son is basketballed out. Both of his sisters play, but he still comes to the games. When he does, we just prioritize making sure we're going to each other's events. Why? Because we're together. We're a family. That's what God has called us to be. Jesus is going to be our anchor in that. And so I want to give 3 practical ways you can prioritize togetherness in your home. Okay, these are overly practical, I think. Number 1, eat together, which is another way of saying make time for each other, but eat family meals together. No matter how late that might be for dinner, how early that might need to be for breakfast, whatever it needs to be, eat family meals together. Don't cop out on this one. There's several studies here. Stanford put out a study. The average American eats 1 in every 5 meals in his car. I'm sure that's like right before COVID. you're like, I don't do that anymore. It's been 2 years. 1 in 4 Americans, this is CBS, 1 in 4 Americans eat fast food every single day. Fast food isn't the problem. The problem is fast. Like, it's just like to get it over with quick, right? The majority of American families report eating 1 family meal together less than 5 days a week. All of this to say is this is not a priority in our nation. It's certainly not a priority in Fairfield County. It needs to be. Eating together, making time for one another. There are numerous good reasons. There are, you can look this up on your own, but from teaching better eating habits. Do you know that families that eat together, as they track their children, are less likely to have depression and suicidal thoughts, especially for the young women in their homes, especially for them? It improves self-esteem. It improves communication skills. There's all kinds of good reasons, but I think there are two great reasons to eat together as a family and to make it happen. The first is it connects you relationally, and it makes you available. It connects you relationally. Why do friends go out for lunch together? Why do you meet for coffee? Why do you go out for a drink? Because it connects people. It totally does. But it makes you available as a parent. And it lets you ask questions about the day. And it lets them pretend like they don't want to. When they're older, they'll do this to you. They'll pretend like they don't want to tell you, but I still believe they do want to tell you. I don't know if they do, but we make them. Secondly, it allows parents to establish the worldview, like the lens that our children look through. And that is your job as a parent. It does not belong to a school. It does not belong to other neighborhood families. It belongs to you. Mom and dad, you are the one who sets the lens through which your children are going to view this world. You want it to be a biblical worldview, you will be the one to establish it. You're creating values in your children. It's why you talk about all kinds of topics at dinner. I know, if you have a three-year-old, and there's limits, right? But as they get older, it's better they hear things from you first than from others first. Because God called you to be their parents, to establish their worldview, their faith. So number one, eat together, give time to each other. Number two, go places together. In other words, make memories. Families ought to go to each other's events. It supports them, it cheers them on, but it also creates this inner understanding that we're family and family matters, and it's a priority. So we do things as a family. Take a trip together every single year. Take a trip. Family vacations are family vacations. Maybe this is a little bit in 10 years from now or 15 years from now for some of you, but family vacations are not for boyfriends and girlfriends. It's actually really serious. Therefore, and you might have got to do that when you were 18 or something, but family vacations are family vacations. They're for family to grow together. You're not going to ruin a relationship because the boyfriend doesn't get to come on a family trip. And when they break up, you know, your child is going to look back on that and want to distinguish all memories of that trip because that kid was on the trip with us. Like, you're going to, you know that. You want to prioritize family. Family matters. Take a trip together. Take a lot of pictures and enjoy them. Look at the pictures together. Go places together. Third one, the final one here. Have fun together. Laugh. Make sure you laugh a whole lot. Game nights. Man, I realize this could, like, You could ascribe an adjective to me that I might go, I'm offended by that. But I thoroughly enjoyed my teenage years. If I had a Friday night or Saturday night at home with my family playing a game, I did. I never, ever complained that I was bored. I actually loved my family. I loved spending time with them. Like, families ought to be able to do that, where teens not like, but my entire life is with my friends. Friends are really good and friends are really needed, but their entire life should never be with their friends. Like, family togetherness needs to be prioritized. Watch funny shows or funny movies. Victor Borge, does anyone know who that is? He was like a funny pianist guy years ago. I have memories of him as a kid. He said laughter is the closest distance between two people. Laughter is the closest distance between two people. You want to bridge two people together, laugh together, have fun together. There's a reason. If you go to a sporting event, say you go with one other person and your team is in a dogfight, and you go up in the fourth quarter and you're like celebrating and super excited, you're high-fiving people all around you, you have no idea who they are, but you love them. Why? Because you're experiencing something just so euphoric, so energizing and exciting that it's just amazing and you feel connected with them. If you go to a comedy club and you're laughing with the whole room, it's like, hey, we're all like family. This is amazing. Why? Because those moments, those are just individual moments. They create connection. Can you imagine day after day after day after day of creating those moments where you're laughing together, you're celebrating something together, you're having fun together? It creates togetherness. Parents were called by God to rear our children, to be the parents for our children, to raise them up to know, love, and follow Jesus. Spiritually, we want to commit to togetherness. You've likely heard the phrase, families that pray together stay together. It's true, and it's, yes, there's prayer, but there's also together. Like, prayer's what makes everything click there, but when a family prays together, it's absolutely significant. Attending church together as a family is extremely important for the family. It's healthy. It's necessary, I think, for adults. It's even more necessary for children to see mom, to see dad investing in faith and the faith lives. The greatest setup, I'll close with this, the greatest setup you can do for your children, you know, it's about connecting them with Jesus. We parents, we'll go to any extreme, right, to set our kids up financially. I never want them to struggle when they, you know, when I'm gone. We'll go to extremes to get them set up for education so they can go to the best college and be set. We'll set them up with connections, like maybe if you meet this guy I work with, I think he could open a door for you. I mean, we'll do this stuff like all the time. But I'm telling you, the absolutely most important thing you can do for your kid is connect them to Jesus, to do it as a family, to make that a priority for every one of your children, for your household. Let's pray together. God, we have this desire. We want our families to be really healthy, long-lasting, way beyond 18 years. And so, Lord, we ask you to help us, because we have these fears behind all that, Lord, that we might blow it. But God, would you help us, every one of us, commit ourselves to togetherness, to investing in the family unit, prioritizing the meal, the trips, the celebrations. God, I want to thank you for the families that are here today for Child of God Sunday. Lord, my prayer is that you would touch their hearts with your love, with your goodness. God, you are so good and so faithful, and we pray just out of places of gratitude. Lord, but we pray that you would just release so much favor on the homes, on the families that are represented here today. God, that there would just be a release of joy in our homes. Celebrations would break out easily. God, if there's been just tough dialogue, tough connection between parents or with their children, God, I just pray a reprieve on that. Would you break that off, release hope, release freedom in our homes? We bless you today and thank you and pray this in your holy name. Amen.